You're listening to episode 48 of the Mad Chatters podcast, August 26th, 2015.
Most everyone's mad here.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and I'm joined by my fellow hosts and my fellow Mad Chatters, Matthew.
Howdy.
And Jeremy.
There are no strings on me.
Today, we're going to do another top five list. The top five list is back. This week, we're talking about the top five musical moments at Walt Disney World. And if you're confused as to what that means, stay tuned, teaser, and we'll explain it a little bit later. But first, let's do a round of the Disney Fix.
The Disney Fix.
And this is pretty much where we just go around the table and talk about anything Disney related we want to that's not long enough for a main segment. So Matt, what you got for us?
Here in Florida, of course, the weather is not getting any crisper and there's no signs of fall in the air as you would know it up there. But in my mind, fall is just around the corner. And so in a very fally sense of the, in a very fally mood, I've been playing the Liberty Tree Tavern background music a lot while I've been cooking and preparing food.
Is it different from just like Liberty Square music?
Yeah, it's very, I don't even know how to describe it. Yeah, it's not the colonial marchy stuff like Sousa. It's very, folk music, like okay. Flutes and banjos and guitars. And not bluegrass, though. Don't think bluegrass. Think like colonial folk music.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of flute action going on there.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And are you dipping your own candles while you listen to this and churning your own butter?
I'm making my own soap.
Yeah.
Are you planning to homeschool?
They don't know what soap is.
Hey!
We love all of our homeschooled listeners.
You just cut that out if you want.
No, that's staying. But my Disney D, whatever this
fix.
Segment is,
this fix. Is the fix.
Is I'm just amazed at how Disney creeps into all aspects of my life. I feel like I have little divine moments with the mouse. And one of mine came actually a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to share it now. I found myself in Grand Rapids, Michigan for some work-related things. And there in Grand Rapids is the Gerald Ford Museum, former president of the United States, of course. And so I enjoy history, so I was touring it. And the first exhibit of the museum is very odd because it just deals with like 1970s culture that was happening, kind of the world in which he was the president. And as I'm browsing these leisure suits and Donna Summers is playing in the background and, you know, disco, all this, there's like a Time, it was either Time or Life. I want to say Life magazine. And it had something on the cover. And then at the bottom corner of the cover, it said, Disney's newest park opening in Florida. And I was like, hey, looky there, little piece of the Disney magic right here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is about as far away from the Disney magic as you can find. So that was a nice little thing. So always take a moment to find those magical moments in every day.
Yeah. Wait, which library was it?
Wait, is the show over?
It was Gerald Ford.
Oh, okay.
Museums.
So. Never mind. I was thinking Ronald Reagan. Have you been to his library too?
No, I wanted to go on our last California trip and you told me it was too far away.
Don't blame it. Don't blame me for geography.
No, it's true. No, his is in Southern California though, about 40 okay. miles away from Disneyland. So maybe one day. No, Gerald Ford, he was president 74 to 76.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I actually have two, kind of, because the one I was going to talk about, I'm still going to talk about, but something just came to my attention today. So a few weeks ago, okay, no, it's been like a month and a half now. Mouse Planet, which is an online blog for Disney World and Disneyland, and they do lots of blogs and reviews and photo reports and stuff like that. They have got like 12,000 followers on Twitter. They did this contest where you send in your pictures and they are going to make this calendar to give out at the D23 Expo. And I sent in a few that I had taken in Disneyland, and this sounds like I'm bragging, but I am maybe the worst photographer that goes to Disney parks. But I did happen to get a pretty good one of Cars Land, and they used it, and I thought they were going to send me a free calendar, like as a thank you, and they did, but they sent me like 20.
Oh, wow.
It's this little it's like 6 inches maybe, but it's got 17 months, and it's these pictures.
Ooh.
And the picture I took is on June 2016. So it's kind of cool. It says Derek, and it's got like the Mad Chatter's Twitter handle on it.
Nice.
And I think what I'm going to do is they're not all that great. They're pretty tiny. You can like throw it in your purse or you can hang it at your desk at work or something. You're going to have to punch a hole in it because there aren't even holes to hang it. But I think I'm going to give a couple of these away to our listeners.
There's one for each of you.
Stop.
There's 20, right? Yeah, there's 20.
We'll even have a few spare.
Yeah. That's for three for us.
Hey, you exactly. Get a calendar and you get a calendar.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to, if you're interested, if not, I don't blame you at all. But it is free. It's a calendar. It's got 17 pictures from all over. Like one's even of the Disney cruise ship. One is. There are a few from Disneyland. There's a great one of the Maleficent float at Disney World for the Festival of Fantasy Parade. So if you're interested, email your name and mailing address to comments@madchatters.net. And here the next couple weeks, I'll just select two names at random and send you one of these calendars. So something to look forward to every month of the year until December 2016.
And you're going to give Matt and I one as well? Is that
okay? I think I can probably fit you on the list. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So I actually really like the cover picture that this person took of the balloons at Magic Kingdom. Nice. I think that's cool. Yep. Anyway, but no, the one I was going to say, have you guys, they announced this at D23 Expo in the Disney Interactive panel, which we didn't really talk about, but the new Magic Kingdoms mobile game. Did you guys see this?
I saw it. I haven't seen it arrive yet.
No. It they haven't released it yet. In fact, the video sneak peek they gave at the panel is very rough. But it's going to allow players to build the theme park of their dreams by recreating and placing iconic attractions in a fun animated landscape. So like they said, like Space Mountain and California Screamin' and Pirates and all these things, you can place them wherever you want and build your own kind of dream Disney theme park. And then as you're building them, there's like this story that goes on and it's up to you to like thwart the evil plan, and all these Disney villains will be part of the story as well. But then, like, there are heroes that can help you, including Buzz Lightyear and Mickey and Mike Wazowski. Nice. And stuff like that.
Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much it's going to cost. I'm guessing like $4.99 or something when it comes out on the App Store and Android, Google Play, or whatever that Android store is. I don't even know, but I thought it sounded pretty cool, and I'm definitely going to get it when it comes out. And it may end up being lame, but. To build your own Disney theme park kind of stuff.
Yeah, probably be one like if you have free download and then, but you can't do much of anything after the tutorial until you start spending some money.
Maybe. I hope it's just like a one-time fee and that gets you everything though.
It kind of sounds like Roller Coaster Tycoon or SimCity, like.
The Roller Coaster Tycoon mobile game was terrible and it was like that, you know, and it was to be expected when it's a free download and then.
Yeah.
You start doing stuff and you need more tickets, you need more coins, and you got to spend money. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I get that. Hopefully it won't be like that. When they do officially announce it, I'll be sure to say it here on the podcast in case our listeners are intrigued. Or maybe we can give a review of it and then save them $5 if it's terrible.
Yep.
On past podcasts, we've jumped into our time rovers and hightailed it back to look at Disney parks throughout history. But today, we are going to gaze into Madame Leota's crystal ball and try and see what it's like into the future. So let's take a moment, gentlemen, if we could, to gaze ahead at what the Disney company will look like and feel like and what we see in the year 2071.
In the year 2071.
Everyone is very excited because Star Wars Land is halfway to being completed.
In the year 2071.
Due to the incredible success of Frozen 6, Cinderella Castle has finished its demolition to make way for Elsa's Ice Palace.
In the year 2071.
Universal Orlando has gone under and has been acquired by Disney. But instead of making use of existing structures and attractions, Disney leveled the entire property just to say, up yours. Future plans are yet to be announced.
In the year 2071.
Much to the chagrin of everyone, the live action from animated films trend continues. Starting now with live action A Goofy Movie origin story, PJ, starring Manny from Modern Family.
In the year 2071.
Now that every possible variation of Cupcake has been exhausted, an all-new Cupcake Pavilion has been added to World Showcase. This pavilion, the first new one in over 80 years, will offer every single specialty cupcake ever sold at Disney World, all 1.4 million of them.
In the year 2071.
The largest expansion ever at Walt Disney World will at last be installed, covering half of Epcot, as a massive, immersive new land called Frozen Future World.
In the year 2071.
Epcot fans rejoice! The making of me has returned. Only it's been enhanced to a 4D ride with effects similar to Forbidden Journey in Harry Potter World. If you thought a spitting spider was great, wait till you see where Martin Short came from.
In the year 2071.
Thanks to the many updates made to the Magic Band over the last several decades, just about the only part of your Disney World trip you can't plan ahead of time are bathroom breaks. Until now. Introducing Potty Pass. With this newest element of My Magic ++++, guests are able to schedule their bathroom breaks throughout the day. The system will time their day so they are always near a bathroom at the scheduled time and are guaranteed a vacant stool and sink. Currently, Potty Pass allows guests to schedule only 3 bathroom breaks each day, and they all must occur at the same park, but this policy is likely to change in the future.
In the year 2071.
Due to many ill-fated updates at Epcot, the park has recently been burned to the ground by Disney World fans from across the globe.
On this week's top 5 list, we're going to be counting down our top 5 musical moments. Musical moments, you ask? Well, these are those moments at Walt Disney World where maybe it's a specific song, maybe it has lyrics, maybe it doesn't, maybe it's just a few notes that make you just say, wow, or you love them because you get so amped up for them and then they make you laugh or they make you cry or whatever it is. These are the 5 musical moments that we love the most. So starting off our countdown will be Jeremy. Jeremy, your number 5 musical moment.
For my number 5, I'm going to take us to Disney's Animal Kingdom, and I'm going to take us to...
It's too hot. Don't make me go there.
I'm going to take us to Finding Nemo the Musical so we can have some air conditioning. And in Finding Nemo the Musical, I'm going to say, just go with the flow from Crush's song in the musical there. So I remember the first time we saw this show. It's a really good show. I know you two are haters on it. At times, but
I'm indifferent.
okay, you're indifferent about it. But I do remember the most impressive part of the show, at least the first time we saw it, was when the curtain opens and there's that giant crush with Marlin riding on his shell, and they sing, and then the turtles come out, the other turtles come out and dance and things, and little Squirt or whatever comes out. It's just a really great, well-produced, well-done segment. And the song's really good, too. It's really catchy. It's really upbeat. Probably the one number you leave if you've only seen the show once, humming in your head as you walk away, the just go with the flow. Anyways, so that was free. You don't have to pay for that, fans.
Here, why don't you show us your amazing whistling skills?
Shut up.
Right before the show, he was whistling something, and it was, let's just
unintelligible.
Say it was not good. No, I really do like that song. In fact, I think when I saw it with you last time, I walked away saying that actor was, or that singer specifically, really did well on that song, because there's a lot of moving around.
Yeah, yeah. And here's how you know it's a good song: when they make it also the reprise at the end, which they do. So.
Which is why you leave singing it.
That is true as well.
No, it's because it's good. Stop
it. It's catchy. But just go with the flow. And you can also, at least you could, buy this whole show, the soundtrack, in Parks. I don't know if it's still available or not. But
do you have it?
So, I do.
Okay.
And it's wonderful.
My number five, and this is in ascending order for me. So, there is an order to mine. My number five.
I think that's the idea of a top five list, usually.
Well, I didn't know if somebody would say, in no particular order or whatever.
No, we're not like that.
We've mentioned this before, but this is the moment in which your safari tour guide randomly wants to listen to African music on the Kilimanjaro safaris, and not my favorite attraction by far. Or really my favorite like moment with the safari host or whatever. But that moment, especially if there are actual elephants out, like bathing themselves and playing in the water, that's when she turns on the music, and it's that African, you know, we've played it before, the boo boo boo. That stuff comes on, and it's perfect. It's like, yep. it's like a Disney moment right there. It's perfect little soundtrack to match what you're seeing with your eyes, and it encapsulates everything from that whole attraction. And it is just a moment, because then it goes away.
And that could be kind of a long attraction. Like, it's a great attraction, but it can be kind of long, but that music comes on at just the right moment when maybe you're starting to be like, when's this going to end? And it's like, oh, I can sit back and relax now.
Yeah.
And do you all remember the fun fact I shared with you the last time we brought this up? What are they singing in Swahili?
You said it was the Lord's Prayer.
It is. It's the Lord's Prayer.
You sound doubtful.
No, it is. It
no,
is.
I mean Matt.
Oh.
What if it's Hail Mary?
Well, maybe it's that.
It's nothing? What if it's some kind of tribal something?
Every source I have read and seen says it's the Lord's Prayer. The only way to solve it, I guess, is to get a Swahili speaker and have them translate it for us.
Hmm. I'm going to take us out of Animal Kingdom and head over to Magic Kingdom. We're in our Doom Buggies. I forgot the name there for a second. On the Haunted Mansion. And the whole song is great. Grim Grinning Ghost. But they play like several different renditions throughout the ride. Mm-hmm. And it kind of builds and builds. But my moment specifically is when you come out of the attic, you've just seen the bride, and all of a sudden you're in the graveyard, and it really picks up the pace, and you hear the boom, 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 and you see like the bus singing. I love that whole scene because it's not necessarily a scary attraction. It's like Disney fun, tongue-in-cheek scary, you know? But that's where it's really just kind of plain old fun to me.
Yeah.
And I love the energy in that last scene.
It's like a hoedown.
It kind of is, yeah. Yeah. The ghost hoedown. Well, all right. Well, that got a lot of discussion.
I just didn't know what else to say.
I just don't know what else.
You just have to say you're absolutely right. That's a great moment.
Ghost hoedown.
I have been in that attraction.
What?
Without the music playing. For whatever reason, we rode through the graveyard scene and the sound was out momentarily. And you never realize how much music adds to something until it's not there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so that song definitely brings an energy, because without it, it's just very stale.
And all you hear is like the clicking of the electronics.
And the air.
Speaking of this, I don't know what was happening last Monday when we went to the Magic Kingdom to see, and we saw the Country Bear Jamboree. And at the end, you know when the Henry figure has the raccoon sitting on his head?
Yes.
And there, it's like near the finale. His hand was like dripping. Like his right hand was like just like pouring out like a clear liquid.
I'm over.
And I was like, what is that? And Jessica, and we all saw it. Everybody's looking at it like, what's going on over there? Maybe. And it's like his hand was like wet. Like you could see it's been doing it for a long time. I don't know if it's like hydraulic fluid or something like that.
Somebody needs to take care of that.
Somebody needs to take care of him. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
All right, Jeremy, number four.
Well, speaking of the Country Bear Jamboree, my number four magical musical moment is when they sing Blood on the Saddle.
Yes.
I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm an immature child, and that's okay. But every time he comes out, what's the name of that bear again? Big Al. Why could I not remember that? Every time Big Al comes out and he starts singing.
Tell it's so magical for you.
Shut up. He starts singing, Blood on the Saddle. Blood on the Ground. It just makes me laugh and chuckle.
You got the voice so right, but the melody is so wrong.
Well, I was singing that a couple years ago. It was stuck in my head, and I was in the office, and I was singing it. And my boss was like, what are you singing? And I was like, oh, it's a song from Country Bear Jamboree. It's called Blood on the Saddle. And he was like, does he have hemorrhoids or something? And so now all I think about is Big Al with hemorrhoids when I hear that song. So, but anyway, so that song always makes me laugh. And I'm actually one of the weirdos that enjoys most of the songs in Country Bear Jamboree, but this by far is my favorite.
I like the reprise of that too when they do all the thing, everybody singing the one song at the end, but he keeps singing Blood on the Saddle.
Yeah. Yes. And how about all the guys that turned me on, turned me down? That's another great one right there. Tears will be the chaser for my wine. I mean, Country Bear Jamboree, how can you not appreciate it?
Sounds like Country Bear Jamboree is number four on your list.
Well, specifically, Blood on the Saddle.
Okay.
I want to get that ringtone on my phone. That would be
Blood.
Number four on my list of top five. What did you call it, Jerry? You gave it an official name, I believe.
Magical musical moments
At Walt Disney World comes to us from also at the Magic Kingdom in Tomorrowland, and that is the entrance to Space Mountain.
Oh, almost made my list.
Yes, when you cross under the entryway into the actual attraction itself, and you're in the ball pit area, and there's the big lit up sign, and you hear that kind of soaring trumpet solo music. That's terrific. And I have to group the Star Tunnel in with this too, because that's just kind of part of that whole feel. But mainly right when you walk in there and you hear that kind of, I don't know, it's been the same, I guess, since 75. It's got like a classic aviation spacey theme to it. That's just so fitting and gets you right in the mood.
There's a ball pit area?
Yeah, like when you look down and there's all the little plastic balls.
It looks like silver balls.
I guess I've never
looked down there.
Yeah.
Like at a McDonald's plate.
Yeah.
They don't do those anymore because snakes were getting in them.
E. coli or whatever.
E. coli.
It's down. I don't know why they're there, but they've always been there.
But that Star Tunnel, yes, I agree.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Star Tunnel.
That is so relaxing to me, that music. It's just so, like, tranquil, you know? I don't know. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, it's a good one. My number four is Jeremy's favorite attraction, and that is Splash Mountain in Magic Kingdom, specifically after the drop, which, you know, in most log rides, flume rides, which this is, what does the sign call it? A flume ride-like attraction or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, the hill is the last part, and then you're done. But Splash Mountain is wonderful because even after that last drop, you still got a couple more scenes to see with the animatronics. And after that is when they do the whole zippity-doo-dah, and it's very lively, and they've got the boat full of birds singing the song. And, you know, you're kind of already in a good mood because you just, well, Jeremy's not because he got wet, but most people are in a good mood because it's been a fun attraction. Everybody's clapping, probably doing a little dance in their log flume. That's my favorite part of that attraction.
This is my number two, and I totally agree. And I think a lot of mine goes with the energy that comes with it, at least this one. And again, just like Go With The Flow, like the energy in that scene, like you cannot not be happy in that scene. You know, you just are just clapping along and all the chickens are, you know, shouting with their tambourines. It's wonderful. It's just one of those, it goes by too fast. You just want to sit there and enjoy it a little longer.
Mm-hmm. And it really hits as soon as you hit the bottom of the flume.
Right.
As soon as, you know, they have the music, not the singing and all the animatronics, but when you hit, as soon as all the water hits and everybody's done screaming and yelling and stuff, you immediately hear that upbeat, you know, zippity-doo-dah theme that lasts throughout the rest of the attraction.
Yeah.
Disney's good about doing those little denouements with their music.
I'm sorry, what?
They're denouements.
I do not know that word, Mr. France.
You watch your mouth on this podcast. This is a family-friendly show.
A denouement is a conclusion.
Okay.
Look who's got his master's degree here.
I didn't learn that. I learned that in high school. What?
Look at you, smart.
We did the Common Core in North Carolina. I don't.
Yes. So we all agree that's a great moment.
Yes. Almost made my list, but I avoided it because another one of mine is very similar, and we'll get to that. Ooh. Number is my turn.
Jeremy.
My turn for my number three. Hey. My number three goes to another attraction that I love, and I could love all the music in it, but specifically I'm going to focus in on one scene, and that is the Enchanted Tiki Room, not under new management, under old management. And again, even though I love all the songs, I think my favorite moment in the whole show is when the female birds come down on their, what do they call it? Like a
birdmobile.
Birdmobile, that's it. And they sing, let's all sing like the birdies sing, tweet, 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 tweet.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
And to me, it is just like so quaint and charming. And that essentials 1950s innocence is just there. And it's just beautiful to me. It almost just takes me back in time to that sort of, you know, that choir kind of singing that you were used to maybe in like your elementary school music class, because that's still the CDs they were using, you know, or whatever, or tapes they were using.
It's like the Lawrence Welk show.
Yes, it has just that sort of that innocent charm to it, and that's what it just reminds me of. So,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it's visually stimulating as well, which I know it doesn't do with music, but it's there. So,
and you look around the room, and everybody is like semi-awed by it, and then you look at Jeremy, and he's clapping and singing along.
Yeah.
Well, they
he's
invite
crying,
you to sing along.
He's weeping openly.
Oh, me.
And now our national anthem.
Kids all sing like the birds sing. Tweet, 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 tweet. Kids all sing like the birds sing. Sweet, 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 sweet.
No, that's a good one. I agree. It's a good one.
It's called a wunderbar birdmobile.
Okay. That's right.
I said perch because at one point they say, am I leopard perch or whatever?
Upper perch.
Upper. I didn't know what word he said. I said leopard perch.
Leopard.
And what does he say? The joke that's never funny? Like, turn your attention to the center of the room that is.
Yeah.
It's like, what does that even mean?
The one where they're listing all the female birds and then he's like, whatever happened to Rosita? Yeah. I was like, is that, did somebody get that in the 60s?
Yeah. Oh, Rosita.
Number three on my list is, and I debated about this one because these next two are very similar on my list, but it captures the Disney essence, and that is in Wishes. At the very end, after the Blue Fairy has appeared, everything is normal, back to normal. Everything is good again after the villain segment and all that good stuff. There's this big, huge key change that goes into When You Wish Upon a Star, and the hugest fireworks you've ever seen explode in the sky, and they're the kind that kind of fade out as they're falling, and it's like pixie dust falling down. That is like the quintessential Disney moment. Huge fireworks over Cinderella Castle, with a soaring rendition of When You Wish Upon a Star.
Wishes. I know it's like 15 years old, but the music alone just rips your heart out. Like, no, I guess tugs at your heartstrings is a better way to say that. But oh my gosh. Okay, this is my number one, and it's actually not that specific moment. It comes right before that when the blue fairy says her, now let's put all our hearts together. Or no, is that the blue fairy who's speaking?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
And make a wish come true. And then the children's voices say, Starlight. Starlight. Yes. Oh my gosh, that moment. I'm like, yes, take me now.
Even with even the part where Jiminy Cricket says, even the part where Jiminy Cricket says, it's the blue fairy. You know, he gets really excited there. And that just makes me so happy. And I just feel so hopeful.
The fireworks, they go that.
Yes, it's just like, even when times are at their worst, the blue fairy can show up and just change everything.
Remember, we must always believe in our wishes, for they are the magic in the world. Now, let's all put our hearts together and make a wish come true.
No, Wishes has so many good moments, but yeah, that was my number one, was that specific Starlight, Starbright moment.
That's odd. One. Yeah.
Well, it's right before the finale. Like, it all just kind of goes uphill from there. Yeah. Pretty much the whole last half of Wishes is my favorite moment. Jeremy, we're on number... Oh, wait, I didn't get my number three. Hold on. Oh. That was my number one.
Yeah.
So my number three is very, very similar to that, but it's Illuminations, and it's the finale of that show, because I'm not the biggest fan of Illuminations as a fireworks show, but the score is about the best music at Disney World, period. And especially at the end, when it kind of revs up, and then you hear the ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, that is good. Like, that is just
the best climax of that song. Oh, and you know what? During that little segment, there is another one of those. It has the little da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it has the little... and they explode those little raining fireworks again. I'm just a sucker for the raining fireworks.
I guess
so. Every time during that part, I'm always like, go planet Earth, best planet in the solar
exactly.
system.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're better than all other planets.
Yeah.
America too.
And we've won Miss Universe how many years in a row? Suck it, Jupiter.
That's a heart-pounding moment right there. Mm.
Well, I don't have a number two because mine was already taken from the Splash finale. But I will echo what you just said as far as the Promise song that plays when you're leaving Epcot.
Yeah.
I like that song a lot. It's just a very nice way to exit the park with that plane. But I also think that that song, I have said this before, I think it'd be a nice wedding song for a Unity candle or a Unity sand scene.
Unity sand.
Because the whole thing is, as two become one, we go on, kind of a thing.
True.
I just think it's nice. So
that's true.
If you're planning your wedding and you want just a little touch of Disney in there, look up the promise song from Illuminations. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah. Disney's good about exit music in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Wishes, the little pop version that comes on after that is always fun.
Peebo Bryson or whoever that is.
I don't think it is, but it sounds like
it. I don't think so either. It's very pop.
That, and then, you know, the Epcot one that plays the instrumental promise song, and then I guess the Fantasmic just plays like the instrumental.
Yeah, yeah. And over at Disneyland until this year, they played that Leanne Rimes song, Remember When, after their fireworks, which is a nice touch.
Yeah, it is.
I like that song a lot.
Number two on my list actually is from Fantasmic as well, and it is another climactic scene. It's hard to avoid the climactic scenes, finales, and so on, because those are the moments. That's what they create, you know? So mine comes at the end, not quite... Well, actually, it is the finale. It's after the boat has done sailed with all the characters on it, and it really gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then there's a big old key change, and Mickey suddenly appears up on the top of the mountain. And I think they've recorded something in the actual track. When you listen to it at home on a CD or whatever, you know, an MP3 version or whatever, and you listen to the Fantasmic, when that part hits, you almost hear like a, like recorded into the track itself, like they were trying to spawn applause. But you can't help but clap.
Yeah.
When you see Mickey up there like that. And it's just one of those things, because he... Am I right about how I'm picturing this? The boat goes by, and Steamboat Willie, he's driving, Mickey's driving that.
Yeah, and then his Sorcerer's Apprentice Mickey appears up on the top of the mountain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it is, yeah, it's with the key change, and then he starts directing all the fireworks. But that part is, that's probably the best part of the whole thing, and everybody always claps when that happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My number two is the Magic Kingdom entrance loop. Specifically, like you pretty much hear it as soon as you go through the gates with your Magic Band, but especially in the tunnels underneath the railroad, you really hear it. And they've got like it's just a medley of Disney songs from Disney films, but they've remixed them to a more like, I don't know how to describe it, but they're more upbeat. Yes. Yeah. They're just very upbeat and cheery and very Magic Kingdom feeling. And like you're in that tunnel thinking like, I'm about to see Main Street and the castle. Like I'm here. It's happening. And that music is really perfect for giving you that feeling. So that's why I love it. And just the loop itself, I listen to it. It's one of my go-tos when I'm at
work. The best part of that loop, the whole thing is great, but the best part is like the opening part with the Mickey Mouse Club march.
Hi-ho and hi-diddly-dee.
Those are like, that's just like, I'm ready to go down Main Street at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Fun fact, at the very end of the loop is what we use as the end of our show here, that Alice in Wonderland music.
The Golden Afternoon.
Yep. That's the big finale.
That one, the Magic Kingdom one's the one that starts out with the da 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 da.
Yep. In fact, da-da-da-da. I'll play that as the background music for this whole episode.
Oh, okay.
So, if you're what you're listening to right now, that's it.
I'm glad we paused there for people to listen. That was nice.
Shh.
All right, number one, Jeremy.
My number one is back at Fantasmic. And this is something that I have confessed to on this show before, and I am unashamed. And that is, I love a good Princess Medley. I
knew it.
And so the Princess Medley with the barges or floats or whatever you want to call them in Fantasmic is my favorite. Just the way that they run together and the background added runs that they put in there. Now I can't listen to the normal songs without adding my own Fantasmic runs.
Yes, in your imagination.
So, but I just love that. The whole scene, I just love it. It just makes me happy.
It does work better when you're in the middle and like you see them cross paths just as the song changes. Otherwise, you're like watching Belle and the Beast and you're hearing like Someday My Prince Will Come and you're like, what?
The best part of that is that break into Someday My Prince Will Come.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a retard dun 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 dun. It's nice.
That's a good moment. I'll give it to you.
Yep, it is.
Maybe I don't know about the best in Walt Disney World, but to each his own.
I didn't know we were judging each other's lists when we were done. Goodness.
Well, if we're doing that, let me go back to Blood on the Saddle for a second, because...
Blood on the Saddle.
Now, the only way to make that better is to include... What about a Country Bear Jamboree medley added to Fantasmic? That would be nice.
You know what my favorite Country Bear Jamboree song is?
You're about four notches too late, but go ahead.
You just talked about the Country Bears.
Only because Derek
brought it. That was my fault, sorry.
It's The Great Outdoors, but that's not even used in the regular show.
Hmm. You're such a Disney hipster.
Yeah.
You've probably never heard of it.
It's not not mainstream Country Bears.
It's not a normal show.
No, it was the one that was on the Disneyland Fun sing-along video.
Yeah,
and so I always thought it was in the show, but when I finally saw the show and it wasn't, I was really disappointed.
Mm.
I heard it at like an underground club in Disneyland. Yeah. You probably never heard of it. It's on the B side.
Oh, okay. Are we on my number one? Am I the only one with the number one left?
Yeah.
My number one comes to us from, guess where?
Epcot.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ah.
And it is at the bottom, and this is only since the renovation in 2006, or 2007, 2000, no, 2006. It's only been since then. And it's at the bottom of the little flume there after the cave scene. Because just like Splash Mountain, as soon as the splashing is done and people are done hollering and screaming and carrying on, you round that corner and you see the big old pirate ship and you see the wall and the cannons are going and they're yelling and stuff. And it's got that epic pirates music from the film that starts playing. It could be louder. I'll tell them that. It could be turned up louder. But I mean, it's
just
like
yell it from your boat. Can y'all turn that up?
Where's the sound man? Sound man, turn it up. No, that's the perfect moment, and it really does create a wow moment, that reveal as soon as you... I mean, you're in the dark for a half second after you come to the bottom of the waterfall, and then you turn, and there's this big reveal, and the music goes right along with it. It's the just the quintessential. I already said that about Wishes. This is another one. The quintessential Disney attraction moment right there. And I think it's a leg up we have on the Disneyland version. We don't have many, but that one is one because that flume goes right into that opening scene with the music.
I've mentioned this on a past show, how that's one of my favorite just moments, period, at Disney World, because like the night sky with the clouds moving and it really does look like it's nighttime. But I guess I've never really thought about the music playing such a big part, too. And I guess it does. It's one of those subliminal things that you may not even realize, but that's why Disney, that's why it's one of the things Disney does so well.
Yep.
My honorable mention is at Epcot. And this is a song, I don't know, every now and then, maybe it's just me, maybe everybody's like this, but you just like latch onto something and you just love it and you can't explain why you love it, you just do. And that is the final song in the O Canada film in the Canadian Pavilion. I don't know why, but I absolutely love it every time. I mean, I have it, you know, it was on the Disney World CD that came out a couple years ago, so it comes up on my iPod or whatever shuffle frequently. I sing it in English, I sing it in French. I love
French, like,
well, as French as I can. But it's just so good to me, and that whole ending of that show, I really like that. I love how they kind of make it really tender there at the end, and he says something to the effect of, it's right after they show all the celebrities, and he says, now I want to introduce you to the real stars of Canada, and they show like the people, you know, normal Canadian people there, and it's really kind of touching. And then he said, he even makes the comment, now would be a great time for a song or something like that, and it
the Canadian in their natural habitat.
And so it's just a great song. It's sung by the season 3 winner of Canadian Idol. So there you go.
Which is so funny to me because you hear that song, which I agree is wonderful, and it almost sounds like a song they would pick for the winner of Canadian Idol to sing at the finale. Mm-hmm. Canada. Canada, yeah. Like it just kind of makes sense. And it's got that pop really good, like swelling to the, you know, the end.
I've never listened to the old one. We've talked about this before, haven't we? The original, it's not like that at all. It's nice that they paid tribute to it and did it and redid it like that.
It's a great song.
Anywho, so if you have never seen the O Canada show, go see it. It's my favorite in the whole Epcot World Showcase as far as films go for different pavilions. So Martin Short, love him. Yeah.
All right, well, that was another top five list. If you have musical moments that maybe we forgot about or that you want to slip in there, be sure to send those to comments@madchatters.net, or you can let us know on Twitter or Facebook at Mad Chatters. If you have time, we'd love for you to review us on iTunes. That's just one way you can help out the show. And I think that's it. So we will see you back here next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Via con Dios.
Moving on taught him a lesson. You learned it well.